Our scripture is from the book of John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for this festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and said on it, "As it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt.'" At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Well, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What a wonderful day Palm Sunday is. We get to wave palm branches in the air and sing songs that are special to just this day, to hear again that beautiful story of the great parade as we think back to that special day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that little donkey. Palm Sunday is like this huge celebrative party, and the great thing about this party is that you and I are invited. We are invited again to hear the story of Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter, a rabbi, a prophet, a healer, a savior. We again are invited to hear how Jesus was proclaimed king. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest. And the gospel writer John gives us a unique picture of not only this scene, how the people came out to meet Jesus, waving palm branches and shouting their praise, but he also shows us what's going on behind the scene, which is really most important because that's how one gets from Palm Sunday to the cross on Good Friday. You see, John's gospel takes this unique look at Jesus' life and ministry, and especially his resurrection. His gospel, the book of John, is known as the book of miracles. The book of miracles. There are more miracles recorded in the book of John than any other book. That is why it's known as the book of miracles. And that's because John focuses, you see, on all of these miracles of Jesus and how these miracles truly, radically changed people's lives. And because of these miracles, John tells us that we can be sure that Jesus is just who Jesus says he is. And so that's why when you read about the triumphal entry in Matthew or Mark or Luke, there's no mention of Lazarus. But John, he tells us all about Lazarus, how the night before his coming into Jerusalem, his entering Jerusalem, this large crowd came to see Lazarus and Jesus. This crowd wanted to see this man, literally this living miracle whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And Lazarus' story must have been a pretty impressive story, because the next day, these were the people that were telling everyone about this miracle, how Jesus raised this man from the dead, even after he had been dead four days in the tomb. Jesus raised Lazarus to life, and now they have even seen this Lazarus alive. And so now this huge crowd comes out to meet Jesus, this miracle worker, this man who can very well be the Messiah, the deliverer, the one in whom the scriptures speak of. And oh my, if he is, our lives are going to change drastically for the better. Oh, now we can be the ruling nation. If Jesus is truly this Messiah, this one who raises the dead, even the dead who had been dead 4 days, now we can rule the world. Now we can place our foot upon the throats of our enemies. Oh, the people in that crowd, they looked at Jesus with hope. And they must have thought, if this man can raise Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, if he has this kind of godly power, then surely he can lead us as our king to overthrow our Roman oppressors and to set up God's new ruling kingdom now. I mean, after all, the scriptures, they tell us that a deliverer is coming. And we as God's people, and surely God would not have us to continue under the dominion and the abuse of these pagan, ungodly Romans. You see, that's what those palm branches were all about. Hosanna was save us. That's what that word means. Save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King Israel. Yeah. You know, it's happened more than one time in history that good religious people have gotten things so completely messed up because they know just how this amazing God of ours, this loving, sovereign, loving, just, compassionate God of all creation, they know just how this God is going to work. And they put him into this little box that really fits well with everything they believe. And the curious thing is this God in this little box often looks surprisingly a lot like them. But that's okay. Because you see, they have God's word to prove that this little God in this box, that he really is just how we think he is. Or maybe I should say, they have pieces of God's word to prove their case. That is, pieces that they agree with or understand. You see, I'm one of those guys that happens to believe that the God of the universe, the God who sends his very own son to redeem humanity, the God who raised to life the dead, the God who etched his 10 commandments into a stone, and then he turns around and he reaches out to in love to a woman who is caught in adultery, who broke those commandments, is a God that is so much greater than I can ever imagine or comprehend. You see, you can't put God in a little box or even a big box. He don't fit. No matter what you know and no matter what you know about God, no matter what you've studied, no matter what your life experience has been with God, once you think you've got God all figured out, once you believe that you truly know how God's going to work in these and every kind of circumstances, that who he saves or who he does not save or how he looks upon our lives, saint and sinner alike, whatever, once you have that pretty well figured out, you've just limited God in your life, and you've just put him in your own little box. The God of the universe, church, the great I am, could never fit into your box or into my box or into all of our boxes put together. And if we try to make him fit, all we do is limit our limitless God. And then we get all upset. We get all dismayed because God is moving in a way that we don't understand or the way we don't agree with. And how could God possibly move like that? In church, that's what these folks were dealing with on Palm Sunday. Understand that. They believe God may very well have sent Jesus to redeem their oppressive, conflicted world. And when Jesus revealed to them that God had this greater miracle in mind, oh, the salvation of the world, the deliverance of all humanity from sin and death, the redemption of all people, even those Roman dogs who are ruling over them, their bubble burst. And Jesus no longer fit into their box. And church, I want you to understand, that's how you go from shouting Hosanna to our King to crucify the blasphemer. Understand that. But you see, Jesus knew what he was riding into that day. He knew what the ultimate outcome would be. He knew how fickle the crowd would be and how that crowd would turn on him. He willingly rode into Jerusalem for you and for me. He rode in for all people. Because God welcomes all to his kingdom. And it's interesting how John picks up on this and how he includes this all-inclusive nature of God in what he saw in the triumphal entry and in that immediate scene that follows with this same crowd. And John is the only one who focuses on this. You see, John makes it a point to stress that in this procession, in this crowd, there were some Greeks. Greeks. John 12:19 says, "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" See, this was a huge crowd. Diverse. The whole world. Jews from Israel, Jews from the Greek-speaking world like Egypt and Asia Minor, Syria. These were the Jews that were really looked down upon by the Jews of Israel because they contaminated themselves with the Gentiles. And there were also Gentiles, understand, in this crowd. Possibly proselytes, Greeks who converted to the way of Judaism. The whole world has gone after him. Our people, those other Jews, and even the Greeks. The whole world has gone after him. And then in the very next verse, which begins with the next segment, John says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship in the feast. And these Greeks asked Philip if they could see Jesus. See, John draws our attention right to the least of these, to those who were despised and rejected because of where they lived or because of who they married or because of how they were raised or by how they were born, where they were born. You see, these converted Greeks could only enter and worship God in that most outer area of the temple with the women and with the children. They were coming there to worship God. They too had made that pilgrimage, but they were just too Greeky. But Jesus, but God was so much bigger, you see, than that box of prejudice doled out by these Jews of Israel, by these Pharisees. God's plan, you see, was all-inclusive. God welcomes all people. Jesus knew how broken Israel was, how splintered her people were. And so he rides into Jerusalem for every man and woman and child and for every single person that was ever born and for every person that will ever be born. for you and I, he rides into Jerusalem to embrace that cross, to redeem people from their sin, to make a way that heaven and earth can be joined again. And that is Palm Sunday. That is Palm Sunday. It is Jesus saying to you and saying to me that I have come so that whenever I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Greeks, Jews, Gentiles, Greeky Jews, slave, free, the lost, the found, men, women, children, all people, every age, every race, every nation, all times, all are welcome. All are loved. Jesus will pay the price for all. This is why Jesus comes. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and we raise our palms and we shout out with those on the road to Jerusalem, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, save us. Save us. And that is precisely what Jesus did. And this is precisely what He has done for us and for all people for all time. In church now, you and I, we begin Holy Week, the 7 days that leads up to Easter Sunday. And this is a time to remember the story. It's a time to celebrate and to give thanks. It is a time to lament, because everything changes now. Oh, you can't go from Palm Sunday to Easter. You have to walk that road through the Passion. We cannot go from celebration of waving palms in the air and then to come on Sunday morning and celebrate resurrection. You will miss the whole story, the whole experience of Easter. We have to walk the path. Oh, listen, the donkey goes back to the stable. The palm branches are broken under the feet of the people in the streets. There's a brawl in the temple, a betrayal in the garden, a beating in the palace, and a blood-stained body on a cross. Strange that we should call this week holy when it is a week full of such terrible darkness. But God always has a way of turning darkness into incredible light. So I invite you this week to share in the story of Jesus' Passion. Pick any of the Gospels and ponder the mystery of the cross, for it was because of you and me Jesus journeyed down that dark road that eventually led to Calvary. This week, embrace the journey of the cross. Take time again to read the story of Jesus' love for you. Tune in or rent a DVD of Jesus' Passion. Come to our Monday Thursday service this week, our Good Friday service this week, but walk that path to Calvary and ponder again the mystery and the story that reveals the depth of God's love for you. And then next Sunday, oh, there's still another incredible story to tell. But you have to come next Sunday to hear it. And to truly appreciate it, though, you have to walk where the disciples walked through Holy Week. So let's begin. Let's begin now that journey as we pray to the Lord. Loving God, our Messiah, Jesus, the living Christ, You are the rebellious reformer of Monday, the healer of human hearts Tuesday and Wednesday, the breaker of Thursday's bread, crucified criminal of Friday, unbreathing corpse of Saturday. We wander through this Christian life uncertain of what day it is. We move from the highs to the lows, from the hosannas to the crucify hymns, from broken palms to broken bread, to broken bodies, to broken tombs. Oh, we would be faithful, but we are weak. We would pray, but we are tired. We would witness, but we're afraid. We would heal, but we ourselves are wounded. Oh, Lord God, You give us this week we call holy as a symbol of our life that is caught between earth and heaven, between the feet of clay and the soul that glimmers with the divine. We confess that we are prone to deny and abandon You, but we know that there is more to the story. And so we wait for the revealing of Your glory. Sunday will come again and shouts of joy will ring forth. Help us to experience the fullness of Your passion as we, Your disciples, seek to live and to share the faith that You have planted in our hearts. For it is in the name of Him whom we follow through every day, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go now in the strength and in the power of that beautiful name, Jesus, who sets us free, who's given us hope, who's brought to us life. Experience His peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.